We are coming to the end of a long weekend in the region of Madrid. Yes, another long weekend, as my family would always say. But this one was sort of shorter than usual because the traditional holidays are May 1st and May 2nd. And since May 1st fell on a Sunday, we only got May 2nd. So normally we get 4 or 5 days and we only actually got three. We're a little bit depressed here. Anyway, May 1st is Labor Day. And May 2nd is the day of the Comunidad de Madrid, the region of Madrid's annual holiday. On top of that, Mother's Day got mixed into it because Mother's Day in Spain is always the first Sunday in May, and everything sort of came together and was happening at once. May 1st, as I mentioned, is a holiday in all of Spain. It's May Day or International Workers' Day, the equivalent of Labor Day in the United States. But today we're going to focus our attention on May 2nd, which is the region of Madrid's special day, and it's only a holiday here. Now, why was this day chosen? For us to find that out, we have to go back in history over 200 years to the time when Spain was occupied by Napoleon's troops. Most people recall the French during that time sort of moving eastward along Europe in Austria and then eventually all the way to Russia, where that disastrous invasion there took place. We also can remember the Napoleonic troops in places like Egypt, where their insensitive behavior towards the heritage there, for example, is also infamous. But not a lot of people know that this regime also occupied Spain starting in 1807. What differentiates this from other lands occupied by Napoleon is that the French didn't really invade Spain, and they were sort of invited in by the government. And once there, they decided to stay. Now, why would they do that? Well, they were supposed to be heading over to Portugal to take on the British because Portugal was in alliance with Great Britain, Napoleon's main rival. But by allowing them into Spain, it just made it all the more easy for the French to stay. Now, not everyone in Spain was opposed to that idea. There were many Spaniards, Francophiles, maybe we'll call them that, who were delighted that the French were sort of modernizing the country. Napoleon's brother, Joseph, would even eventually have himself declared king of Spain, which was a very unpopular decision. But that comes a little bit after our story today, and we'll talk about it at a different time. In Madrid, events transpired very quickly. In March of 1808, in the nearby town of Aranjuez, where the royal family has a summertime palace, Fernando VII, son of King Carlos IV, forced his own father to abdicate. And the reason for this was that basically Carlos had let the country go to pot. In addition, let the French into the country. He was a weak leader, heavily manipulated by his prime minister, Manuel Godoy, who was also probably sleeping with his wife, the queen. They returned to Madrid, where Fernando was given a king's reception, a triumphant reception. The people were very happy. They called him El Deseado, the desired one. But unfortunately, the people of Madrid were making two big mistakes. One, that Fernando was a competent leader who acted in their best interest. He would end up going down in history as one of the worst ever. And two, that Napoleon would sort of stand back and let this feeble dynasty run the show, which was not going to happen. Napoleon ordered the royal family up to Bayonne in France for a meeting before he would approve any of these decisions about who was going to be the leader. Instead of agreeing to anything, he actually pitted father against son and vice versa, and before you knew it, both the father and the son had abdicated on their own. The people of Madrid did not know this yet, but what they did realize was that the presence of the French was not such a good thing. The attitude of the troops towards the locals made tensions rise. In addition, food shortages began to add to their frustration. And with no clear leader in charge, and with rumors of the royal family, being removed from power, the local population became very restless. Now, the French troops in Madrid were under the command of General Murat. He had tens of thousands of soldiers at his disposal. Some were in the city, some were sort of on the outside on standby. In any event, in early May, Murat decided that it was time to move the remainder of the royal family out of the royal palace in Madrid to join them with the rest up in Bayonne. Once word got out that the queen, and especially the last remaining son, the prince or the infante, Francisco de Paula, were being taken away, the people rushed to the royal palace to protest. Murat responded by sending in soldiers to disperse the crowd, but that just made things worse. The people basically went crazy, and suddenly you had a major riot on your hands. The uprising had begun, and it quickly spread throughout the city as well as into other towns outside of Madrid like Móstoles. Well-known locations like the Puerta del Sol and the Puerta de Atocha and the Plaza de Malasaña, which was not called that back then, it was known as Monte León, were the sites of major confrontations. The Madrileños were poorly armed, and most didn't have firearms and used basically anything they could have at their disposal to make makeshift weapons. The French, on the other hand, were a professional army, well-equipped, well-armed, and experienced in warfare. To make matters worse, the Spanish troops that were in the city, for the most part, stuck to their orders to stay put and didn't support the insurgents. That meant there were bloody clashes throughout Madrid, but the result was generally always the same. The uprising was put down. One of the few places to hold out just a little bit longer was this artillery park. This was in that what is now known as Malasaña district. It's sort of a very artsy part of town. In fact, the name Malasaña comes from Manuela Malasaña. Legend has her as one of the women who fought that day. The 17-year-old seamstress most likely was taking refuge, and on her way home after the riots was apparently arrested for carrying scissors. She was a seamstress after all, and that would have been logical, but the French accused her of concealing a weapon and had her executed. Why would they do that? Well, General Murat quite possibly could have looked at this whole incident, the riot, the uprising, as an isolated moment of very violent rioting, which would have soon been forgotten. Now, it's hard to say if that would have happened, but what we do know is that his reaction and his decisions did little to move anything towards reconciliation. If anything, they made things a lot worse. The general ordered firing squads to punish the local population, and those executions went throughout the night and into the next day, May 3rd. Both the clashes on May 2nd and the executions on May 3rd were immortalized in two very powerful paintings by the Spanish painter Francisco Goya, who was in Madrid during the uprisings. So, in short, the revolt was a failure in the short term, but eventually served as kind of inspiration in many parts of Spain. We are talking about the beginning of the Peninsular War, a war that raged for the next 6 years, with the Spanish, thanks to the humongous help from Great Britain, would slowly but surely drain the French and their resources during this war of attrition and sort of turned it into the Vietnam for Napoleon. In other words, winning many battles in an unwinnable war. And so today, in commemoration of that historic moment, it's a holiday in the region of Madrid. How do the Madrileños celebrate it? Well, basically mainly by leaving the city and going somewhere else. This is a bad year, as I mentioned before, because we only had 3 days off. We usually get 4 and even 5 days off. So we'll just have to wait for next year for things to improve in that sense. And that's about all. That's why we celebrate the 2nd of May in Madrid. We hope you've enjoyed this podcast by Brian Spain Domain. Please feel free to leave any comments because we love the feedback. You can subscribe to our podcast at Spotify, Apple, Amazon, and Castos. Or if you wish to support Brian Spain Domain, click on our PayPal donate button or if you want to have access to absolutely all of our podcasts, you can check us out on Patreon at the link provided below. Stay well, stay safe, and hasta pronto.